Turning tonight to the book of Job and to the 22nd chapter of the book of Job. So Job and the chapter 22. And we have Eliphaz, and he's in here, one of the friends of Job, and he is accusing Job of error and sin. So in Job 22, and the verse 1, "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, Can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter with thee into judgment? Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honourable man dwelt in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee? Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, How doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. But as our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, There is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Amen. We know the Lord will abundantly bless the reading of his own in divinely given and wonderfully preserved truth. We're coming tonight to look at verse 21. And we'll be looking at 21 on the basis of it being a springboard into other verses within the chapter here. Of course, we will refer to Bible verses outside of Job chapter 22 as we go forward, but we will be making quite a few references within the confines of the chapter as we find it before us here tonight. So verse 21, I'm sure you've heard it preached on in the past. I remember one time in a gospel mission back in the Lisburn Church, and we had these words brought to our attention, Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. So you'll see immediately there's a promise here. The promise comes in the second half of the verse, thereby good shall come unto thee. So the promise of good. And how do we receive it? And how do we walk in this particular way? So we're looking at verse 21, right down to verse 29. And we're on the trail of goodness and blessing and benefits that will come to us, and they will come to us if we really know God. And that's what the first half of verse 21 is all about. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. I should flag up right from the beginning, because there's a distinction to be made here, and there is a great difference between, on the one hand, knowing God, and on the other hand, knowing about God. They are not the same thing. Millions of people across our world tonight know about him who do not really know him. They may well have been to Sunday school. They may well have come to children's meetings, and that on a consistent basis for a long period of time at the beginning of their lives. They might well read the Bible in a casual fashion. They might go to church and do so when church is open on a regular basis. But there is a vast difference between knowing about him and knowing him. What we're saying here is there is a theoretical knowledge about God, and there is an experiential knowledge about God. One amasses facts and figures and can paint in the details and reconstruct a scene in Scripture that they have come across maybe on many, many occasions, and they might know more details about that, the finer points, and remember certain things that even the mainline Christian might long have forgotten. Facts, detail, theory, they can be quite the expert on that level. But experientially, where the rubber hits the road and where all that we have learned becomes a living fire that is burning in our soul, that is propelling us along to live day by day with Christ and for Christ, that is the experiential knowledge of God that we are focusing on tonight. Acquaint now thyself not with facts about him, not with characteristics merely of him, though that will be included, but acquaint now thyself with him. Know God. Well, the question is, how do we know God? There's a little hint and a tip coming in verse 22 and also in verse 23. We'll take 23 first. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. If thou return to the Almighty. Sometimes, as an invitation hymn, we'll sing the words, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. And we have, as unbelieving sinners, we have wandered far away from God for sure. Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. In Luke 15 to verse 13, the lost sons and the lost quantities and items that were in that chapter all emphasize the fact in our Lord's language that we have wandered away from God. By nature, we are far off. We need to be running to his feet. We need to be reconciled to him. We need, in the words of Ephesians 2 and verse 13, to be made nigh. 1 Peter 2 and 25 as well. And there is only one way to God. That is through the sacrifice of his well-beloved only begotten Son. And you can check it out in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 and verse 7. But the Lord is saying, seek the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And he emphasizes that we are to forsake our way and to turn unto him. And that's the thought in verse 23 of Job 22, if thou return to the Almighty. You will not know God, I will not know him, unless this step by the power of the Spirit is taken. Return. Another thought, and we're back to verse 22. Receive. Not only return, but receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. And we take ourselves for who we are according to how the word describes us. We are vile and full of sin. We take Christ for how the word describes him. He is the sinless sin bearer of his people's iniquity. And so we reach out to him in the empty hands of our faith, and we lay hold upon him as our personal Savior. Receive him, receive his words. You take his law, you obey his commandments, you follow him in the way that he has prescribed in the Scriptures. And so the whole object here is, in returning to the Almighty, receiving the law from his mouth, laying up his words in our heart, that we are getting to know him. First as our Savior, then as our friend, John 15, verse 14 and 15. Also as our sanctifier who works on us, day in, day out, refining us, purifying us, our sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 13, we get to know him as our supplier. Philippians 4 and the verse 19, that he can supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We'll come as well as we advance in knowledge of him to recognize he's my keeper. Many people stumble over this one. Well, I would love to be saved. I know I need to be born again. Someday it will happen, but you know, right now, I couldn't keep it. No time in your life will you be able to keep it, because God is the keeper. And in Jude 24, we have that thought underlined. So I need to get to know him as my Savior, as my friend, as my sanctifier, as my supplier, as my keeper. And you know what? Paul summarizes all of this for us, because he says, I have come and I am coming to know him as my, and here's the umbrella language, my all in all. Colossians 3 and the verse 11, and that reminds me of a little chorus we used to sing back in the youth fellowship meetings. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. How do I get to know him? Return, receive, and you will find, as you live the Christian life and go through that experience, there are unquestionably degrees in knowing God. Now, there are degrees in certain organizations, and I will not go into that. But you know the thought. You rise up one level to another, and you constantly must keep moving and progressing, because you cannot dare rest upon your laurels. Didn't our Lord turn to his disciples in John 14 and 9, hast thou been so long time with me, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And so the clear implication is, Philip, you have a lot to learn. There's progress that needs to be made. There's more knowledge of me that you need to imbibe. Remember Saul of Tarsus, on the time of his conversion, related in Acts chapter 9. And he cries out in the middle of that blinding light and in the middle of that stunning voice, who art thou, Lord? Because though he were saturated in Old Testament scrolls, and he had wound himself around in the scriptures, and he had sat at the feet of some of the best teachers, notably Gamaliel, teachers of Jewish law, and he felt he was a very elevated Pharisee. He knew a lot of the Old Testament. Who art thou, Lord? He did not know Christ. And at the end of his life, in the Mamertine prison in Rome, he utters these tremendous and famous words, Philippians 3:10, still that I may know him. And so that knowledge, it is built up, it is developed, it advances by degrees, and the more we receive, back to our words here in verse 22, the more we receive, the more we hear, the more we obey, the more we live out his word, the more we will know him. It's that simple. It's not a secret preserved only for the elite. It's a plain path, and it's laid out for us even here. Verse 21 again, our text. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. So the clear thought that is undergirding our text is this. If you and I know God, there will be benefits. There will be good that will come to us. The promise of good through the knowledge of God. What good does this writer have in mind? Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Let's stay in the passage. What will happen? We will be, verse 23, built up. If we know God, if we develop in that, if we rise up in degrees of that knowledge, we will be built up. Verse 23, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. So there is development here. In knowing him, we become spiritually strong. We become in the Christian life virile, robust men and women as we live for Christ. We are those that are described in Ephesians 6 in the verse 10, that we put on the whole armor of God, that we are standing there and we have a defensive capability, but more particularly it is offensive capability that the stress of that armor is placed upon. Now the question is tonight, have you received Christ as your own personal Savior, returned from the wilderness of iniquity and wildness unto Christ? And since that time, are you becoming a strong Christian? An anemic, weak Christian is of little value in the army of faith. We need to be as strong as we possibly can. The kind of Daniel 11:32 character, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So there will be doughtiness or development here. We will be built up if we know the Lord. And that's verse 23. But there are other benefits and more blessings. And I'm sure you can well anticipate that's what we're going to see here as well. Because in verse 23 it goes on. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. That's first part of it. Then the second part of 23. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. There will be a drastic dealing with sin. That's all part of our development, a drastic dealing with sin. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. We are told our bodies are the temple or the tabernacle of God the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 and the verse 19. And the more we know of God, the more we will begin to share his hatred of sin, and the more readily we will deal with that sin. 2 Corinthians 7 and the verse 1. You see, if we have Christians who have light views of sin, if we kind of shrug it off, it's no big deal, it's no big impediment, then we don't know God as intimately as we profess, or as intimately as we must. Thy tabernacles here, thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. That's the body, yes, but that's the home, and that's the business, and that's wherever we are in society. Now, the question that faces you and I is simply this: am I dealing drastically with sin and with those doubtful things that try to intrude and leech themselves to God's tabernacles? We will deal drastically with sin. Then there's a third thing that I want to point out in verse 24 and in verse 25. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Now, we may use the term, we have defense here, but when you look in the margin of the verse 25 where we have the word defense used, you'll probably find, if your margin is like mine, the word that can double up for defense is gold. Gold. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy gold, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. So what we have here is actually treasure. We are enriched by Christ. We have to use the material value here. We have gold and we have silver, and we have them in abundance. And we need really, don't we, to look up Colossians chapter 2. And we'll turn to Colossians 2 and we'll read verse 9, and we'll also read verse 10 in the context of having treasure in and through Christ. So we have Colossians 2 and the verse 9 and the verse 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We have possessions in him. If we are a true believer, you'll find in other scriptures this fact: that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You'll read that in Romans 8, in the verse 16 and in the verse 17. If we went into the Old Testament, in Obadiah, for example, verse 17, you'll have this delightful phrase: possess your possessions. In other words, there is such a donation of riches in the person of Christ that we need to live up to that high level. We're saying to the Lord, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, help me to take in more and more of thy riches. Help me to experience, because this is true riches, perfect peace. John 14 to verse 27. Help me to know fullness of joy, because again, John 15, 11 makes that a very treasured thing. Give me power to witness, because I can't live my life and spend my days without opening my mouth and telling of the abundance there is in Jesus. Acts 1 and verse 8. And also, in terms of real treasure, give me grace that is sufficient for my need. You'll remember the Apostle Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed to the Lord again and again and again, Lord, remove the thorn. But the Lord said, even though the thorn is still present and it's there by design, my donations are bigger. My grace is sufficient for thee. And so through Christ, we have this wealth of donation. we are incredibly, greatly enriched. Not only that, drop again another verse, verse 26. Job 22, 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty. I have heard numerous people who are not Christians, or maybe are stumbling about in the doldrums of defeat, and they're finding sin around them, and it's tangling itself around their feet and tripping them up at every point and turn. And they'll say this: you know what? Christian life, it's a bit boring and mundane and melancholy and all the rest of it. Actually, it's not. It's the very opposite. And here in verse 26, when this path of knowledge of God is walked, when we know more and more about Him on a daily basis, what happens? For then, shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty. And we will be saying, I don't want to feed on spiritually anything else. I don't want to feed on anything less. Because, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. And so we have satisfaction in Christ, and you will find in Him one who never disappoints. Hebrews 13 and 8. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And as we get to know Him, our delight increases in the gifts that He gives us, in the service that He privileges us with, in His house and our assembly there. But most important of all, our delight increases in Himself. What should I be praying? What should you be praying? Lord, let me find my desire in Thee. Let me find all delight in Thyself, the kind of joy the world knows nothing about, that it can never manufacture, that it can never counterfeit. So we read in Psalm 37 and 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And that brings us to the next point. We're on number 5 here. You'll find it in the end of 26 and all of 27 in Job 22, verse 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto Him, and He shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. What is a benefit? What is one of the great goodnesses that comes my way as I increase in the knowledge of God? I will receive answers to prayer. Now, as a Christian, even the youngest Christian who's with stumbling, insecure steps, trying to walk by God's grace the Christian life, the most inexperienced Christian, that person has prayer as their great privilege. But you will find, as you study out Scripture, the whole of the Bible demonstrates it, and all of your Christian experience will prove this. It's the people who really know God intimately who receive answers to their prayers. And that's bringing us into the realm of dynamism. Dynamic answer to prayer. You can check it out in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. You can check it out in 1 John 5. And the verse 14 and 15, and in fact, we'll turn up one of those references, 1 John 5, we will turn up, and the verse 14 and 15. So 1 John 5, if you'll just mark that in your Bible for a moment, let's read it together. Verse 14 and verse 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse 27 in Job 22, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Now today, when we're in the middle of fear and distress and confusion, if there was a day where you and I need to know God more than we've ever known it before, and need to feel the force and the value and the answers coming through to our prayers, it is surely today. I need this dynamism in my life. We will receive answers to prayer as we get to know him. We'll also, if you look at verse 28 and 29, we will have a fruitful testimony. Thou shalt also decree a thing. So in the realm of decrees here, it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. I'm putting the word direction over that. Direction. Not long ago, we used the phrase in a sermon, you are the finger of God today. And in this world, swirling around in its chaos, the world needs a direction guide, needs a signpost, needs to be pointed the right way ahead. Well, verse 28 and 29 are really all about that. Thou shalt also decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee, and the light. What about this? The light shall shine upon thy ways. Lord, illuminate my darkness, I will. But you need to get to know me. You need to spend time with me. You need to spend time in my word. We're back to lay up his words in thine heart. Verse 22 again, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And then when men around us, when they're cast down, we'll be a direction indicator to them. We'll come and we'll say, brother, sister, you've fallen, listen to us. There is lifting up. When I fall, Micah 7, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And we're told here, he shall save the humble person. What is verse 28 really saying? It's saying if we know God, if we're working according to his gracious will, our work will not be lost. Our work will not be lost. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 58. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. What does verse 29 say? Glorious promise. There will be results in our work. It'll not just not be lost. It will bring forth great results. When men are cast down, then shalt thou say there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. I want to end by looking back and just emphasizing that final line in verse 28. The light shall shine upon thy ways. Doesn't that remind you and me of 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is a proper relationship with God, and there is a proper relationship with man. And that's what we have here in 28 and 29, a proper relationship with God and a proper relationship with men. And God's smile is upon our lives. His good pleasure, His guidance, His blessing. I think of the Aaronic blessing over in Numbers 6, 24, 26. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. How wonderful it is to walk out, to walk forward, to walk day by day, God illuminating our path. A path of splendid light through the darkness on every side. The knowledge of God. It's why this injunction is given. This command is laid at our doorstep here in verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with Him. That's the one thing needful. That's the chief importance for your life and mine. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. And I conclude by, it's in my mind just when I read those words, thereby good shall come unto thee. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. If I acquaint myself with Him, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. May this be your experience and your blessing.